Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
I love this because we get Bum of the Week to close the hour, and we get the opposite of Bumdom right now to begin the hour. One of my favorite writers, analysts, thinkers about the NBA, multifaceted, talented Tom Haberstroh joins me on the show right now. How many people call you Mr. Haberstroh in your daily life?
Oh, nobody, because they can't pronounce it. So it's usually Mr. H if they go with the Mr. You know, I got a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old, and all their friends just call me Mr. H or Mr. Tom.
TomTheFinder.com on Substack, also a Trailblazers analytics insider. That's pretty adorable. I wish I was Mr. B. On Twitter, on X, at Tom Haberstroh. I really do. I'm going to have Henry's friends start calling me Mr. B. They just call me Henry's dad. Let me ask you this question, Tom. I said this at the start of the show. One of the things I just really like and respect about you is you are very independent in your thinking. You don't have to speak to this if you don't want. I just think there's a ton of groupthink and conformity in NBA circles. And maybe all those groupthinkers are right. I don't know. Maybe they're following the right person. You think for yourself, and whatever conclusions you come, you know, whether they're in agreement or not with me or other folks, I just respect the way that you go about your business. How are you looking at, it's a 5-person ballot. How are you looking at your MVP ballot right now?
Right now, I've got Jokic at number one. And I think what you see with Luka Doncic making this big push, it's a great storyline. I love seeing this because it's the opposite of what happened last year. Remember how last year, the farcical finish of the Dallas Mavericks, where they basically tanked so that they could retain their lottery pick, which turned into Derek Lively, and turned out to be the smart move. Now Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving are on an absolute tear and been finishing really strong. And I think people were thirsting for a debate about the MVP. Now that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander got a little hurt and has been missing games down the stretch, it's been an intriguing debate, but I would say Jokic still has my vote. I don't have a vote this year, but I would say Jokic has been the best player this year. And now that Luka has come on strong, I still think the advanced stats point to Jokic and the fact that he's played, you know, a full length of the season, 77 games played, and playing at a high level and carrying that Denver Nuggets roster with a lot of injuries to Jamal Murray, where he's been basically in and out of the lineup. And I love the story of the Dallas Mavericks this year, but to me, it's Jokic and it's Doncic in second and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander right there. And then the 4-5 is really interesting. I don't think I can do it, but I really want to put Wemby on my number 5 slot.
Wow. I love that. What about Jalen Brunson?
So Jalen Brunson's in that conversation too, especially because of the fact that, you know, they've dealt with so many injuries this season. Again, Julius Randle being out for, you know, basically half the season and the Knicks are still in play for that second seed. I mean, how many people would have suggested that before the season, that Julius Randle would be out for half a year? Yeah, you get OG Anunoby, but he's been hurt with the elbow, and they're still going to get the second seed in the Eastern Conference. And by the way, they would get rid of Emmanuel quickly, and you would see Mitchell Robinson be out for the majority of the year. I don't think anyone would have painted the New York Knicks as being a contender much to make the Eastern Conference Finals. But here you have Jalen Brunson averaging just about 30 points a game this season and been just the fulcrum of everything that they do offensively. And you know what? Like, you got to hand it to Tibbs. I did not see this from Tibbs. The fact that they're able to put this together, patchwork with, you know, Josh Hart becoming one of the best rebounders in the NBA somehow, and OG Anunoby for Yahoo Sports, I did this video called The Big Number that pointed to the fact that OG Anunoby has had a positive plus minus, meaning when he's on the floor, the Knicks have outscored the opponent in every game this season for the Knicks. 21 games he's played for the Knicks, and they have not lost OG Anunoby's minutes in any of those games. It is a season record. It is a franchise record. And he is coming up close to the 1996 and on modern day play-by-play record of having the longest streak of positive plus minus in the NBA. And that record is set by Malcolm Brogdon in 2018 with 29 games. So what I'm trying to say is Jalen Brunson, he has been the rock for the New York Knicks. And I would suspect that he's going to get a lot of love in that four or five slot in the MVP candidacy. But really, it's Jokic's year.
Is that the 50-40-90 year that Brogdon had in Milwaukee?
It could be, actually.
Yeah, I'll look it up. It's just such a weird...
I think when you look at Brogdon in that year, this is a guy who fits, you know, the modern-day era. Now he's with the Blazers, the team that I cover on a nightly basis for their broadcast. And you have to watch this guy to appreciate him. Last year with the Boston Celtics as a sixth man, he was banged up. But he's really, really valuable. And, yeah, Drew Holiday getting that extension to Boston I think was a smart move. He's their Andre Iguodala to Steph Curry and Draymond when he was for the Warriors. But Malcolm Brogdon, very underrated player in the NBA.
A very good player. Tom Haberstroh here on the show. Tom, you brought up Luka and the Mavs, and ever since they, I know there's more to it than this, but ever since they inserted Daniel Gafford into that starting lineup and his minutes went up significantly, and you know, since they sort of figured out the pieces they got at the trade deadline, they have the best defensive rating over this stretch over the course of the NBA. They have one of its best records. They played really, really good basketball. Do you buy them? Let me ask you this way. Well, how do you see the Mavericks as we go almost into the playoffs? What are they to you as a contender or not?
Right now I have them as a two-star contender. I do these title tiers every week at TomTheFinder.com. And I have a five-star contenders where I have Denver. I have OKC. I have Boston in that five-star tier, the top tier. I had last week Dallas at the two-star slot. And I think I'm going to put them up to number three or the third star slot. At the next week when I republish this on a weekly basis every Monday morning, that Daniel Gafford, that acquisition with him and PJ Washington from the Hornets was huge. They created Lob City overnight. Daniel Gafford is, you know, kind of like Tyson Chandler in the sense that he has his vertical spacing threat. And that's what Spo called Chris Anderson in Miami, the vertical spacer. And what he means is, when you throw that lob to Daniel Gafford, Tyson Chandler, Birdman, it creates this collapse of the defense. All these guys have to suck down into the paint to make sure that you can't get a good look on that lob. And that's what Daniel Gafford does for them. And, yeah, in a couple of years, Derek Lively can do that a lot. But when you look at this team in this formation, you've got basically – what Stan Van Gundy called the greatest offensive player of all time in Luka Doncic that he's ever seen, you know, with the ball in his hands, creating so much gravity and attention. But then if you have Daniel Gafford rolling down the rim, it makes things so much more difficult for the defense. Now, the question for me with the Dallas Mavericks is always about that defense. How sustainable is it? And I think when you look at the Clippers in that 4-5 matchup, they're banged up, man. And this is perfect timing for the Dallas Mavericks to play this team because Kawhi Leonard has been healthy for the entire season up until a couple weeks ago, and they cannot afford an injury to Kawhi Leonard. James Harden's hit a bit of a wall here, and I think with Daniel Gafford and playing that high above the rim, a vertical spacing, and then defensively being a rim protector, this Dallas Mavericks team is a title contender, but I wouldn't put them on the same tier as maybe Denver, OKC when healthy right now, just yet.
Talking to Tom Haberstroh here on the show. Tom, I was wrong, and so was LeBron. I was so wrong on this play-in tournament. I didn't say the person who came up with this bleep should be fired, but I probably thought it. Maybe I said it. It's amazing. Every game counts. Every game is amazing. I watched last night, and no disrespect to your Trailblazers, but I won't pretend to have watched with great interest as many of those games this year as in years past, but I was riveted last night. I was stuck because I am sort of tracking this idea of the Warriors getting out of the 9-10 and having a chance at being the 7 seed and then presumably then being able to miss the Denver Nuggets. Now, some things have to happen. Basically, the Warriors got to beat the Pelicans tonight, and the Kings have to lose to the Suns. I think that game's tonight. Whenever that game is, because they finished the Kings with your Portland Trailblazers that you work on the broadcast with as the analytics insider. All of which is to say, very unclearly and poorly, that there's a world where the Warriors can climb out of that 9-10 spot. What's the likelihood for you? I know it's just a few games for each team, and if it happens, what kind of chance do you give the Warriors to do something that would, from the outside looking in, be shocking if they do avoid the Denver Nuggets in the first round of the playoffs?
I'm telling you, man, if Minnesota gets the number one seed and the Warriors are the eight, I'm picking the Warriors in that series.
Me too.
I just see the chess pieces moving for Steve Kerr and Draymond and Steph. And it feels a lot like to me, like an 8-1 where it doesn't really feel like an 8-1. It feels like a 4-5 or something like that. And I just think that Steph Curry, he's healthy. Last night turned it on when it mattered most, and it felt like an inevitable thing that was going to happen to the Blazers, where the Blazers hung around, and then Steph Curry was like, yeah, I'm taking over this game. And against the Minnesota Timberwolves, you hear the little chirping from Rudy Gobert when they went small, or the other day, who was it? It was Denver went small with Aaron Gordon at the five, and the Timberwolves had no answers for it. And you hear Rudy Gobert talking about, hey, we weren't able to punish them when they went to the small, and we need to punish them on mismatches. I'm sitting here being like, yo, this has been the problem for years with Rudy Gobert, right? And so if they can't solve that for the postseason or getting ready for the postseason, that's a problem. So if they had played Minnesota or been slotted next to Minnesota, I think the Warriors would have a great chance at winning that series and making the upset like we saw with Miami last year with the Milwaukee Bucks. But I'm telling you, man, if Jamal Murray is healthy, no one's beating this Denver Nuggets team. And so if the Warriors get slotted eighth, I think that would be a real bad thing for the NBA, because I think this Warriors team has a run in them. If they go against this buzzsaw that is the Denver Nuggets, I think it's going to be over in like 6 games. But it's going to be a fun series, but I just can't see the Warriors overcoming the Denver Nuggets. But if they can avoid them, watch out. The Warriors are a sleeping giant. As I've always said on this show, I feel like people sleep on the Warriors way too much, and Steph Curry looks healthy, and they are on a roll right now.
100% with you. Top 10 in offensive and defensive ratings since Draymond got reinserted into that starting lineup after his shenanigans. Late January was the reinsertion, not the shenanigans. I'll say this too. I mean, so the Nuggets, I love it, but it's hard to keep track of all this stuff, Tom, just to memorize it. But I believe the Timberwolves have the tiebreaker over Denver. Is that right? So I think Denver has to win out to be the one seed. But they've got the Spurs, who've been tougher lately than you might think looking at their record. And they've got the Grizzlies. So there might be a world where the Warriors have to get out of that 9-10 to avoid Denver. I love all this stuff at the end of the year. Let me turn you to the Eastern Conference. And look, I'm not a doubter of the Celtics. I know that they're the best team in the East. I think they're probably going to come out. But I think there are questions there. And I thought there were questions about Jason Tatum before your extraordinary amount of reporting and insight on what has been, and this is your work, not mine, Tatum's real struggles over the course of the last several years in clutch time. Just his difficulties in those scenarios. What is your confidence level in the Celtics versus the field right now?
Ooh, great question. I know I'm going to sound like a Miami homer because I lived there for 6 years and covered them up close. But if the Celtics play the Miami Heat in any sort of round here in the playoffs, I'd be very hard-pressed to go against Eric Spoelstra and the Miami Heat in that matchup. Because of the crunch time woes and just clamming up, they are an elite team. They have like the fifth highest point differential in NBA history, something close to that. And I talked about this on the No Cap Room podcast that I do with Yahoo Sports this week. Talked about how Jason Tatum, I think, has the most to gain and the most to lose in this postseason. Like, it's pretty close. Like, maybe you can argue, the Clippers, Paul George, James Harden. But in terms of like the reputation around the league, I feel like Jason Tatum has the biggest swing heading into the postseason. If they win the championship this year, I feel like it will cement him as, you know, a perennial MVP candidate. No doubt this guy is one of the top five, top 10 players in the league. And right now, I just don't think that many people have the confidence and feel like Boston, as good as they are, do you trust them down the stretch? Now, their clutch rating as a team is not historic. They are historic when you just look at the overall point differential. But when things get tight, they're just another good team. And I've been hammering this all season long that they need to get Jason Tatum out of this Mamba mentality and they need to move the ball and rely on Jaylen Brown and Kristaps Porzingis more, because it's too predictable. The five-out offense just lends itself to iso ball, to hero ball with Jason Tatum, who's trying to put the whole entire thing on his shoulders and trying to, you know, turn around this reputation that he comes up short in the clutch moments, when, like, the numbers are the numbers. And I think that is, to me, really nerve-wracking. I think they're okay against the Bucks. I think they're okay against the Knicks. If the Knicks are healthy, watch out. But if OG Anunoby's banged up and they don't have Julius Randle to kind of provide that scoring punch when things get tight, I think Boston is fine, as long as they don't play the Miami Heat, because I just think that Eric Spoelstra, Jimmy Butler, and Bam Adebayo have their number no matter what their record says.
Most people get dumber as they get older. That's just a reality. We get older. A sign that you're getting smarter is when everything Tom Haberstroh says, you go, oh, I think that too. Mr. Haberstroh, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you as always. Thanks for hanging on the show. I always appreciate it, man, when you're able to make time.
Hey, appreciate it. Now go watch the Masters.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.